Here in Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 2, the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, I'm glad today that there's a God that's on the throne in heaven. God's still on the throne and God is still in charge. God the Father sits on the throne in heaven and His Son Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father on a throne right next to Him. Jesus Christ is sitting on a throne in heaven today. Death could not contain Him. The grave could not keep Him. Yes, we know that He died on the cross of Calvary and He was buried in a borrowed tomb. But 3 days later, up from the grave, He arose. And now today, Christ has ascended. God the Father has exalted Him. He's given Him a great name, a name that's worthy to be praised. And He's sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven. I want you to read with me here back in Philippians chapter 2 as well. Philippians 2 and verse number 5. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5. The Bible says there, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You know, God desires that we would kneel at the throne, kneel before His throne. One day every knee will bow. One day, every knee will bow before the throne of God, before the throne of Jesus Christ, and confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. But right now, you've got to do so voluntarily. There'll be a day when every knee shall bow, but not every knee is bowing today, I can tell you for sure. Not every knee is bowing before Jesus Christ and bowing before His throne and bowing and saying, oh, He's the Lord, He is Lord, and He's also Lord of my life. Not every knee is bowing to Him voluntarily. Now you must do so from your heart. You must kneel in your heart. You must kneel before the throne. If you're going to kneel before God's throne, if you're going to kneel to Jesus Christ in your life, you must do so voluntarily. I want to preach to you this morning about this topic, kneeling at the throne. Kneeling at the throne. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Let's have a word of prayer together. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask You, Lord, please, to speak to us now. Father, may we put aside every distraction. May we not worry about the dinner that might be cooking at home. May we not worry about where we're headed next or some family that we might spend time with this afternoon. Father, help us to forget all about those things and focus on You for a little while. Father, keep aside any distraction, any attempts of the devil even to keep some from hearing the truth that they need to hear this morning. Father, let our minds be focused on You. Let our hearts be in tune to hear and to listen to what You want to speak to our hearts. Holy Spirit of God, please help me to say what I ought to say. And Spirit of God, work in the heart and spirit of each listener here this morning, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me share with you this morning three simple thoughts about kneeling at the throne. Kneeling at the throne. Number one, we ought to kneel at the throne of our Redeemer. I want to talk to you about three persons, if you will. We ought to kneel at the throne of our Redeemer. We ought to kneel at the throne of our Lord. And we ought to kneel at the throne of our Helper. Our Helper. We see these things in Scripture this morning. Number one, we ought to kneel at the throne of our Redeemer. Again, there in Philippians chapter number 2. If you still have your Bible open, it says this, and let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So we understand these verses are talking about Him. And it says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was God in the flesh when He came down to earth. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He was God. He was equal with God. It was not robbery for Him to say, well, I'm God. I am God. He was. But what did He do? He made Himself of no reputation and took upon Himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Why did Jesus Christ go to the cross? Why did Jesus Christ, who was God and was equal with God, who was the Son of God, why did He humble Himself to take on the form of flesh and to go to a cross, to go to Calvary, to die there for me and for you? Why did He do that? Well, He did that to be our Redeemer. To be our Redeemer. A few simple things this morning about our Redeemer. We must recognize who He is. We must recognize who He is. In Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 36. The Gospel of Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 36. The Bible says, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, she was of a great age, and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of Him to all that looked for redemption in Israel. When this lady, Anna, spoke, she spoke of the One who would bring redemption. She recognized that this Jesus Christ, who was born to Mary, that He was the Savior of mankind. She recognized that this Jesus Christ was the Redeemer. She recognized Him for who He was. And know what? You need to recognize Jesus Christ for who He is. You need to recognize that Jesus Christ, He is God. He's the Son of God. He was equal with God. And when He came to earth and took on the flesh of man, it was so that He could go to the cross of Calvary and die there for your sins and for my sins. To pay our sin debt. To pay the penalty. To take our punishment. He gave His life on the cross of Calvary to be our Savior. To be the Redeemer of mankind. Listen, we belonged to God because He created us. But when man sinned, fellowship with God was broken. We've gone away from God. And when Christ died on the cross of Calvary, it was to redeem us, to purchase us, to buy us back to Himself. He wanted us to be His again a second time. Oh, we belong to Him because He's our Creator, but He wants to be our Redeemer as well. He wants to buy us back, and that's why Christ came. Here was Anna who recognized who He is. And listen, if you're going to be able to kneel at the throne of the Redeemer in your life, you better recognize who Jesus Christ is. You better recognize that He's the Savior of the world. You better recognize that He's the Redeemer of mankind. So number one, first, we need to recognize who He is. Secondly, we better remember what we are. Remember what we are. Recognize who He is, but remember what we are. Look at what the Bible says in Psalm chapter 130. Psalm chapter 130 and verse number 1. Psalm chapter 130. We need to recognize who He is as our Redeemer, our Savior. We need to remember what we are. In Psalm 130, verse 1, it says, out of the depths have I cried unto Thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let Thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If Thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? God, if You would always mark and keep track of all my iniquities and keep track of all my sins, well, God, I could never stand before You. I could never stand before You as righteous and holy and perfect and clean. There's no way. But thank goodness, look what verse 3 says, but there is forgiveness with Thee, that Thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in His Word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is plenteous redemption, and He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Listen, Jesus Christ, He is the Redeemer. He is the Savior of mankind. He gave His life on the cross so that we could be forgiven of all our sins. Recognize who He is, but you better remember what we are. We're sinners. We're unclean. We need His redemption. We need the Savior. We need the forgiveness of God in our lives. We need that. We ought to kneel at the throne of our Redeemer. We need to recognize who He is. We need to remember what we are. And thirdly, we need to realize He deserves all the glory. Realize He deserves all the glory. If you turn with me to Romans chapter number 3. Romans chapter 3 and verse 20. Romans chapter 3 and verse 20. The Bible says here, therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. Again, just like the psalmist said, if you, God, would mark iniquities, how can I stand before You? I can't stand before You. Unrighteous. I'm unclean. I'm a sinner. It says here, no flesh will be justified in His sight by the law. Listen, it doesn't matter how good you are, you can't be good enough to get to heaven. We can't do enough good works. We can't have enough righteousness to get ourselves to heaven, because at our very best, we're all still sinners. At our best, we're sinners. Remember what you are. Realize who He is and realize He deserves all the glory. If we're going to be saved, it's going to be because of what He's done for us, not because of what we've done. We can't save ourselves. Keeping the law can't save us. It says, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. People think, well, if I keep the Ten Commandments or if I try to keep all of God's law, listen, there's a whole lot more than Ten Commandments. In the birthing room this week, Dr. Nadell, he's a Jewish man, he said, there's, 640-some commandments. You know what, maybe for the Jewish person, there's 640-some. I dare say there's even more than that, though. You know what? Many more. And you can't possibly keep all the commandments of God perfectly. You can't keep all the laws of God. We are all sinners and we need the Redeemer. We need the Savior in our life. We'll only be saved by what He's done. Verse 21 says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested or made known, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. He's the mediator. He's the go-between. Through faith in His blood. To declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. Verse 26. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. And by what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude, we come to the conclusion, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. You know who gets all the glory then? He does. Because you know what? We're not saved by our works. We're not saved by our keeping of the law. There's not, well, I can stand before God and say, God, you know, I was a pretty good person. I was a good Christian. I went to church and I was kind to people and I walked those ladies across the street and I helped some orphan children in Africa or someplace and I was just a good person, God. Look at me. No, we have nothing to boast in. Where is boasting then? It's excluded. We can't boast in ourselves. We can't boast that we're good enough to get that because we're not. We cannot save ourselves. There's no reason to boast, no reason to glory in and of ourselves because we cannot redeem ourselves. We cannot save ourselves. Where is boasting then? It's excluded. It's done away with. I have no reason to be prideful. I'm a sinner. I'm a dirty, rotten sinner that can only be saved by the grace and mercy and love and forgiveness of God. 1 Corinthians 1:29 says this, that no flesh should glory in His presence. No flesh should glory in His presence, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according to it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Hey, we have no reason to boast, no reason to glory and think, well, I'm good enough to get to heaven. No, I'm not good enough. I'm not possibly good enough. There's probably a few of you out there that are fooled enough to think, well, Pastor Johnson's a pretty good guy. I'm not. I'm a dirty, rotten sinner. And I need the Savior. I needed the Redeemer, Jesus Christ, in my life. I couldn't get to heaven without Him. And as good of a person as you may be, we're still sinners. And if not for the Redeemer, if not for the Savior, if not for what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary, we could not be saved. We ought to kneel at the throne of our Redeemer. To do so, we must recognize who He is. We must remember what we are. We need to realize He deserves all the glory. Salvation is all of Him. It's not of us. And fourthly, we need to respond to what He's done for us. Respond to what He's done for us. In Hebrews chapter number 9. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 11 to 14. The Bible says this. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 11. The Bible says, "But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purity of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" This book, of course, was written to the Hebrews and written to the Jews, and they would have understood it perfectly because of the Old Testament sacrifices. They offered lambs, they offered goats, they offered animals as sacrifices to make an atonement for their sin. On Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the high priest would kill a perfect spotless lamb and enter into the holiest place of the temple, of the tabernacle, and go in there, and upon the mercy seat, the blood of that animal was sprinkled to make an atonement, to make a covering for the sins of the people. But what they did was all to look forward to as via a foreshadowing of the day when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, would come, the great high priest. And He would be the spotless Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. And His blood would be shed to make an atonement for our sins. It says in these verses, "How much more shall the blood of Christ," the end of the verse, "purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God." We recognize who He is as the Redeemer. We remember what we are. We're sinners. We realize that we can't glory in and of ourselves. We can't be saved except to put our faith in the Redeemer, to trust in the Savior. But we ought to respond to what He's done for us. Certainly we ought to respond by accepting Him as Savior and Redeemer if we've not done that. But shouldn't we also kneel to serve Him? Shouldn't what He's done, shouldn't as we consider the blood of Jesus Christ being shed for me so that I could be saved, shouldn't it purge my conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Oh, as you get saved, you ought to then live a new life in Christ Jesus. We ought to serve Him. We ought to kneel to serve Him. Kneel at the throne of our Redeemer. Secondly, this morning, we ought to kneel at the throne of our Lord. Back in Philippians chapter 2, back in Philippians 2 and verse number 9, the Bible says there, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him, and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Listen, we need to kneel at the throne of our Lord. Jesus Christ is the Lord. Now, honestly, you don't make Him Lord. He's already the Lord. He is the Lord. But we are to make Himself our servants. His servants. We are to make ourselves His servants. We're to serve Him. We're to obey Him. We're to follow Him. If Jesus Christ is the Lord, then what should we do? We should obey Him. He's the Lord. He's the one that God says, "I want you to kneel to Him. I want you to kneel to my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in your life and serve Him and obey Him and love Him with all your heart." In Luke chapter number 6, in verse 46, it asks a very pointed question. In Luke 6 and verse 46, Jesus was speaking. And it says there, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Jesus said, "Why are you calling me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say. Why are you pretending that I'm your Lord and yet you don't want to obey me? Why are you calling me Lord, saying that I'm your Lord, but you don't want to do the things that I say? You don't want to obey me. You don't want to follow my word. You don't love my Father. You don't really love me. You've not been following me. You've not been obeying me. John says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Here Jesus asks the pointed question, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Listen, if we're truly kneeling to Jesus Christ as Lord, then are you doing the things that He says? Are you learning what God's Word says and are you doing what it says? Are you following Jesus Christ in your life? Are you truly kneeling to Him in your heart that you want to obey Him? You want to do right? You want to please Him? How are you living? Is He your Lord just a few days out of the year? Is He your Lord just on Sundays? Listen, Christianity is not just a holiday. It's a life. It's a life. It's to be lived 365 days a year. Let's not just call Him Lord, Lord. Let's do the things that He says. Let's obey Him. Three things this morning. We ought to kneel at the throne of our Redeemer. We ought to kneel at the throne of our Lord. And thirdly, we ought to kneel at the throne of our Helper. We ought to kneel at the throne of our Helper. Look with me at Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter number 4. And verse number 16. There's a wonderful invitation to us in this verse. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 16. Says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Do you know, He invites us to come kneel at that throne. He invites us to kneel at the throne of grace. He can help us in all of our times of need. He is our Helper. He's our Helper. The Lord is my Helper. Hebrews 13 says this, He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my Helper. The Lord is my Helper. Look with me back at Psalm chapter number 30. Psalm chapter 30. I just want to show you a couple of verses in the Psalms. Hebrews says, we can boldly say, the Lord is my Helper. Hosea 13:9 says, God said this, in me is thine help. In me is thine help. In Psalm chapter number 30 and verse number 10, He says this, hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my Helper. In Psalm chapter 33 and verse number 20, it says, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Psalm chapter 46 and verse number 1 says this, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. A very present help in trouble. He wants to be there to help you. He wants to be there. He invites us, come boldly to that throne of grace. Find mercy and grace to help in time of need. Are you doing that? Are you kneeling at the throne? You say, oh, I got troubles in my life. I got problems in my life. I got worries and concerns and burdens. Are you coming to the throne? Are you kneeling at the throne? Are you coming to Him and seeking His help? We need to pray and seek the Lord's help. We need to kneel at the throne, humbly kneel before Him and say, Lord, I need Your help. When we don't seek God's help in our life, the Bible would really teach us it's in essence a sign of pride. Because in pride we think, well, I don't really need His help. I think I'm okay on this one, God. No, God wants us to humbly come before Him and seek His help. Seek the help of God in your life. Pray and seek the Lord's help. Seek His help. Turn with me to one last verse together. Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26 and verse number 22. We ought to kneel at the throne of our Helper. We ought to pray and seek the Lord's help. He can be a present help in the time of trouble in your life. But boy, you better seek Him. You better humble yourself. You better kneel before the throne of God in your life. Acts chapter 26 and verse number 22 says this: "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both the small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both the small and great." Do you know what? You ought to tell others what a wonderful helper He is. Hey, if God has been your help, tell somebody else about it. Tell others how much God has helped you. Tell others how much Jesus Christ has helped you. Tell others what a difference He's made in your life. Hey, if the Lord's your helper, if Jesus Christ has helped you, hey, if He's been your Savior and your Redeemer, and He's made a difference in your life, tell others how much He's helped you. Let's tell others what a wonderful helper He is. I said this morning three simple things. We ought to kneel at the throne of our Redeemer. And we ought to kneel at the throne of our Lord. And we ought to kneel at the throne of our Helper. If you're going to kneel at the throne of the Redeemer, if you're going to kneel at the throne of the Savior, we said you better recognize who He is. He is the Redeemer of mankind. He died on the cross to be the Savior of the world. He wants to save you from your sins. He wants to forgive you of all the sins you've ever committed in your past. He wants to forgive you of the sin you'll commit tomorrow. He wants to wipe away all your sins. He wants to save you. You need to recognize who He is. You need to remember what we are. Remember what you are. I'm a lost sinner. I'd be unsaved, unclean. I could not stand before God in my sin. It's only because I've accepted Jesus Christ. Years ago that night when I made my decision to trust the Lord Jesus Christ personally, and He became my Redeemer, He became my Savior, I can now stand before God with the righteousness of Jesus Christ on my record, where God doesn't look and see, oh, look at all the marks on His record. Look at all the sins on His record. No, now I stand before God clean and righteous because I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Redeemer and my Savior. Recognize who He is. Remember what we are. Realize He deserves all the glory. Salvation's all of Him, not of us. If you've been thinking, well, I can save myself, I'll get to heaven because I'm a pretty good person. I'll get to heaven because I've been religious. I've gone to church. All those things are good and we ought to do those things. But you need to trust the Savior, the Redeemer. That's the only way to be saved. Recognize who He is. Remember what we are. Realize He deserves all the glory and respond to what He's done for us. Trust Him and accept His payment for your sin debt. And secondly, if you're saved, listen, we ought to kneel to serve Him. Kneel to serve Him. Secondly, we ought to kneel at the throne of our Lord. If He's the Lord, then we better obey Him. Are you obeying Him in your life? And thirdly, we ought to kneel at the throne of our Helper. He invites us to. Why don't you pray and seek God's help? Kneel. Kneel at the throne. Seek God's help. Learn to pray. Learn to seek His help in your life and tell others what a wonderful helper He is.